A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing with joy. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
By wise judgment, the most hideous porter I bought. It is a foot and
When John the Baptizer was in prison, he heard about the words and the deeds of the Messiah. He sent his disciples asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus said to them, "You go back and tell John all that you hear and see. The blind recover their sight. The lame walk. The leper is cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised to life. And the poor have the good news brought to them. And blessed are those for whom I am not a stumbling block." After John's disciples left, Jesus turned to the crowd and he asked them concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What did you go out to see? A person clothed in soft garments? You know well that those who wear soft garments live in royal palaces. So what did you go out to see? A prophet? Oh, and I tell you, far more than a prophet. It is of this one that the Scripture says, 'I send my messenger before you to prepare the way for you.' I tell you, of all the people in history born of woman, no one is greater than John the Baptizer. And yet the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. In just over a week is Christmas.
And in fact, less than a year, we will elect the next president.
You know, the closer we get to the central truths of our faith, the more difficult it is to speak about it. And that's because there are no words that can adequately express the simplicity as well as the magnificence of God.
And get right to, what are you going to do for me? Let's be honest.
We gather this afternoon as disciples of Jesus.
Every single person.
That's what we are. We are disciples of the Lord.
I can tell you right now.
We gather as human beings with our own fair share of strength and our own fair share of weakness. We gather as people who have walked, some for a few years and others for generations, in the path that Jesus has walked. And every single one of us, at one time or another, has failed to live up to who we are. That's what sin is. Sin is the failure to live up to who we are. Sin is the rejection of who we are. Sin is the pretense that I am someone other than who I am. And all of us at one point or another do that. We do it because we're tired. We do it because we're selfish. We do it because we're lazy. We do it for a host of reasons. But we do it. And what we do this afternoon is we come to simply acknowledge that. And we come to simply ask for the mercy and the forgiveness of God. We also come to acknowledge the fact of who we are.
All of the Democrats
you and I are daughters and sons of the living God. That's who we are.
Maybe folks who just believe in the
we are sisters and brothers of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't think of ourselves as that very often, or at least I don't.
I can tell you, I am vulnerable.
I much more readily see the dark side of my life than I see the light side.
And nor should I be. You don't, when you call this program, you don't shy away from the fact that you believe God gives you a right to own a gun.
I know very well where I fail. And that looms large in my head. I don't very often hold on to the grandeur that God has conferred upon me. And that's human nature. That's human nature. You and I are sisters and brothers of the Lord. Sons and daughters of the living God.
It is not a result of random thinking. I'm so excited to share.
God loves us. There is no end to the love with which God loves each and every one of us.
I want to dig into this.
God doesn't love me because I'm good. God doesn't love me because I'm great. God doesn't love me because I'm right. God doesn't love me for any of those reasons. God just loves me. And the challenge for Christian living is to get that not only into our heads, but to get that into our hearts.
And his thoughts about it. And I want to talk about Frank Rich's piece in the New York Times today where he kind of gets to this issue. Frank Rich is onto something. He is one of the most thoughtful writers. I know he writes for the New York Times, and therefore
God loves us so much that God can't stay away from us. God can't love us at a distance.
I'm going to talk about his piece in Sunday's New York Times.
God must love us up close.
About faith.
And that's what the feast we prepare to celebrate is all about.
Faith. Really
out of the love of God, God had to come among us and be one like us. And it is in the human nature of Jesus Christ that you and I see the face of the living God and the fullness of God's love.
But did you know your car can actually...
And it's in the life that Jesus lives that you and I are taught what it is to live a fully human life. Now you look at the story of the Scriptures. What marks Jesus' life is His compassion, His mercy. What marks Jesus' life is His willingness to reach out and to touch, to gather, to enfold men and women of every ilk, but particularly those whom no one else will touch. Those who no one else will gather with. Those who no one else wants. And why? Because He sees in all of us, even those on the margin, He sees us as sons and daughters of God. He sees us as sisters and brothers. And so he opens the eyes of the blind. He strengthens the legs of the weak. He cures the disease of the leper. He unstops the ears of the deaf. He lifts up those who have died and raises them to life. And to those who get only bad news, he brings good news. That's what he does. For in doing so, he demonstrates, he shows, he makes present for us the very love of God. Well, and then he says to you and to me, to his disciples, to his followers, to his sisters and brothers, he says, you've got to do the same thing. You too are sacraments of God. Visible, tangible, physical reflections of the face of God. So he says to us, that's the way you're supposed to live as well. And all of that is tied up in the mystery that you and I prepare to celebrate in the Feast of Christmas. So, when somebody asks you, why do you have a passion to make sure that hungry people eat? You tell them it's because of Christmas. Or why are you concerned that homeless people are sheltered? You tell them it's because of Christmas. Or why are you concerned that every human being have an opportunity to learn and to grow to the full potential God has placed there? Tell them it's because of Christmas. And when someone asks you, why do you welcome the foreigner, the immigrant, the outsider?
And it's about family.
Say, it's simply because of Christmas. Why do you choose to identify with those who stand on the margin? It's simply because of Christmas.
They seem to have...
You and I are challenged and called to be the very face, the physical manifestation of the living God. That's our vocation. That's our identity. Sometimes we fail to do that. Sometimes we refuse to do that. So we come today and we ask God's mercy. We come today to acknowledge our sin.
I am fine with the idea.
We come today to
reconnect
with who we are.
Find the path the best suits
us. Sons and daughters of the living God.
There has been this discussion in this country of late.
We come to claim our identity through the mercy and the reconciliation
from the public square
of Jesus Christ.
And